everybody. Welcome to the Big Noisy Bug Movie Podcast. The podcast that does not make you look fat. I'm your host, Pete Pollock. This week on the show, the greatest show on earth. You can't get much better than that, can you? No, you can try. But is the movie any good? Well, we're about to find out. Stay tuned. This is a film without a plot. And I really, it has no plot, but it makes up for it with about 50 subplots. So if subplots are your thing, that's not so bad. The movie stars Charlton Heston as the boss of the Ringling Brothers Barnum and Bailey Circus, or at least, you know, one version of it, because I think there's a couple. But maybe there wasn't back in 1952. I don't know. But, you know, he's the boss. He's in charge. And he, as they say many times in the movie, he has sawdust in his veins. So, you know, he's walking through and he knows everybody's job. He's grown up, obviously, around the circus. He is absolutely the circus guy. And the film opens where they're trying to decide, the big bosses, the owners and whatnot, are trying to decide if they're going to do a full tour or if they're just going to go out for 10 weeks, because they don't want to play the smaller towns. And that's all well and good, but Charlton Heston has a surprise in store, and his surprise is that he's hired the greatest trapeze artist in the world, the great Sebastian, to come in and take over on the trapeze in the center ring. And that's going to bring people in from miles around, and they're going to make a ton of money, and everything's going to be great. Except for the fact that Sebastian is kind of a troublemaker, and he's got a bad reputation. This is one subplot, okay? I know it sounds like I just described the plot, but it's actually a subplot. Another subplot is that Sebastian is going to come into the center ring and do the trapeze act, but Charlton Heston's girlfriend is actually the one who is scheduled to do the trapeze act in the center ring. So she's going to get bumped. So she's annoyed about that. That's subplot number two. Subplot number three is that the great Sebastian and Charlton Heston's girlfriend start this kind of rivalry thing where they're duking it out and doing crazier and crazier stunts on the trapeze, you know, each trying to win over the audience, you know, so the Sebastian is worried about the competition or claims to not be. And Charlton Heston's girlfriend is, you know, trying to earn center ring back. Apparently that's a big deal on a three ring circus. Kind of makes sense. So that's subplot number three. Subplot number four is that Sebastian and the girlfriend are starting to fall for each other. Then you've got the gangsters who are trying to move in on the circus and get like gambling things going on the midway, and they're causing trouble. And then there's another subplot involving one of the circus performers may or may not be a murderer on the run from the law. So, you know, what do you think? You think one of them may be? Well, you know, you're not going to write that into the movie and then have them not be a murderer on the run from the law, right? So somebody has to be. So who is it? There's a lot going on in this movie, and it really doesn't need a plot because you've got so much happening, you know, you don't even really miss it. Kinda. Well, you kinda do. All that is well and good, but let me tell you, the thing that's the most interesting about this film is the fact that it was filmed at a Ringling Brothers tour. You know, it starts off before the tour and carries on through it. And you see a lot of what I can only assume is not special effect. It's real Ringling Brothers stuff going on. So they show the circus performers. You know, you've got Emmett Kelly is in there in a small role. They show them setting up the tent and how that works. You know, they got the rings climbing up the pole and they got the big tent going up. They got the circus train. They're loading the train. They're pounding stakes into the ground. They're pulling them out of the ground. They're moving to the next town. They're having parades. You see acrobats and people riding horses and just, you know, and songs. Of course, they have to work songs. And there's just all this stuff going on. And to my untrained eye, it gives you the feeling of what it probably was like around Ringling Brothers back in 1952. And that part is probably pretty realistic. I kind of think most of the subplots are not realistic, but the circus stuff is actually pretty cool. And I'm not a big circus geek. There are people that, you know, that's all they do is think about circus, and that's cool. That's their hobby, whatever. I'm just kind of peripheral. I like a good circus. I like anything entertaining, but watching this was actually pretty interesting, because it kind of gives you, I think, a little bit of a window into a world that maybe it still exists, but it, you know, things are much more high tech now, and they do shows at the United Center and stuff. And I think the big top thing is kind of something from a bygone era, and that's actually pretty cool. So I did like that part. Now, as far as acting is concerned, I'm going to tell you, There's not a single James Stewart is in this movie, and he's probably the only one in the entire movie who's not overacting. Okay. Everybody else is completely over the top, and that's fine. If you're going to be over the top, you might as well do it in a circus movie. Where else are you going to be over the top? Planet of the Apes, maybe, I guess. But everybody is big and overblown, and everybody is very dramatic. And there's this annoying narrator guy who keeps coming in to describe what's going on in the circus. So it's like, you know, the circus is like a mighty army storming the town and blah, blah, blah. And, you know, he's kind of reminds you of the film strip guys that they had when I was a kid, where they'd be talking about, you know, the newspaper is, how does a newspaper bring you the news? Let's look back at that, Tommy. And it kind of feels like that. And that gets a little annoying sometimes. So overall, I'm going to give this movie a solid rent it. It's not one that I would probably personally want to watch over and over again, but yeah, it was kind of cool. You got to be in the right mood for it. But the circus stuff is pretty cool. Gets a little long-winded sometimes. They keep showing act after act after act, and it's like, okay, progress the movie a little bit once in a while. That would be cool. But overall, yeah. It's a cool film, and it's worth checking out. Next week on the show, From Here to Eternity. That covers a lot of ground. Apparently in the 1950s, you know, greatest show on earth, From Here to Eternity. Good Lord, you know, they didn't do anything halfway in the early 50s, did they? I guess, you know, you just won a big war, you feel like you're the king of the world. But we'll find out how that movie is. I've certainly heard of it, and I've never seen it. So I'll have my review for you next week. Until then, I am Pete Pollack. This is the Big Noisy Bug Movie Podcast. You can always reach me at movies@bignoisybug.com. And it's a production of the Big Noisy Bug Media Empire. Have a great week, everyone. See you soon. Okay, this is us working off script.
Yeah, wow. Pretty Second City-ish.
Well, at least the energy level is high.
Yeah, I'm buzzed. Yeah. This is Den Bob.
This is Pete Bob.
And we're two of the Acoustibobs, one of the most rockin' acoustical electrical bands that you'll see in the Mount Pilot area, for sure. Bobcast, the Acoustibobs podcast.
Is that okay with the name?
A Bobcast?
Right? Yeah, are you okay with that?
Yeah, it's witty enough.
I didn't think it was as witty as it's going to get anyway.
Yeah, Bobcast is fine. Where will folks be able to find this hidden gem of a podcast show?
On the internet, then.
Oh, well, okay, that's most people, I guess.
Right. Well, we're gonna say that it could be at theacoustabobs.com.
How do you spell that?
Just like it sounds.
So anyway, Bobcast starts March 25th at theacoustabobs.com.
Or bignoisybug.com.
Yeah, that's nice and confusing. Good job on that.
Why do you always have to give me a hard time?